Yeah, that guy out there in his yellow rain slicker with the little ducks on his bright yellow boots splashing in the puddles. That'd be our master gardener, Mr. Tom Casper, joining us this morning for tips for hardy gardeners. Gardening obviously needs water, but I bet it's a lot more fun to garden when the sun is out. It's just my two cents.
It sure is.
Yeah. So luckily for you, you've got all of your beautiful enclosed greenhouse spaces, so you can garden happily all day long today, inside with the sprinklers running on your head, I guess.
Yeah, that's it, exactly. Yeah, we've certainly seen a rain here the month of July, haven't we? Wow. We've really gone from one of our driest Junes on record is certainly shaping to be one of our wetter Julys up here so far. So lots of rain, and which has been helpful, of course, for folks who are on wells and trying to keep large areas watered, whether it's turf or gardens or things like that. But it appears we're probably at that point where we could, you know, use a little less rain now for a while, but I'm not wishing away the rain, just hoping for a little less.
That gets to be a little bit complicated, does it not? So what can gardeners be thinking about right now? And is there anything that they need to be doing? Or do they need to be concerned about crops at this point, maybe getting a little too damp?
Well, I think that's certainly going to be a consideration. I was looking at some of my plants yesterday, and several of them on the lower end of the field are in a state of wilt, or were in a state of wilt yesterday due to that excess amount of water sitting in the soil. And I garden on a little heavier soil, so it retains a little bit moisture than maybe some other folks' gardens do, but so any of us that have clay or a heavier soil may be dealing with some of those issues. And so far, it doesn't appear to be damaging to that plant as far as permanent damage, but certainly could set it back and things like that. So if folks can, you know, potentially if they have that much moisture or water standing, they want to look at ways of relieving some of that, either cutting some trenches or whatever they need to do to get that water.
Because if gardening is more fun in the rain, trenching is the most fun in the rain.
Exactly. You know, for those that play in the mud like me, it is a lot of fun. And it's funny because really, you know, in the month of June, there was with this extended drought and the severity of it, you could hardly find a garden hose or a sprinkler in the Duluth area. All of the hardware stores and home improvement stores were out of that, and even out of hoses for that part as well, too. So as more people worked on their yards and got those things, conditions led to even greater need. So
and
it certainly
some people,
was a challenge. So.
Some people found that they did not have the motion-activated sprinkler that they needed when they needed it, and now they feel really bad about their new wild plum.
So, and you asked about what gardeners can be doing right now, and not so much right at this very moment, because it's not really a lot of fun to go out and try to seed in the rain, but there's a lot of those second harvest kinds of crops that people can be thinking about starting to seed. Things like radishes and lettuce and beets and things like that. I actually just planted, with the help of one of my friends, planted a bunch of those seeds yesterday for a second harvest. So folks who had really good success with their first round of some of those faster maturing vegetables can really get in and get a second planting in now, or coming up now. That some put in with things like radishes and stuff like that. So because we've had such a beautiful warm summer and with some rain, it really does present an opportunity for us to get further enjoyment there. So
So those are the sorts of things that you can sit and stare out the window and plan today. Those are the,
yes.
It's what my roommate calls pre-engineering that involves standing with the beverage of your choice in your hand and staring.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And doing yoga, you know, some exercises and some stretching to get ready for that moment when you are back in the garden and pre-engineering and your seeds all laid out.
Got
it. And the spot is complete, and then you spring like a 50-year-old cat.
I've done that spring myself a time or two. It's kind of impressive. Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Look at her go. Woo! There is something to see. Yeah, she stepped in a hole and she's down. Yeah, it is a tragic thing indeed. Now, you know, you've talked a lot about how you've expanded your growing for other people this year. And maybe it's a little late in the, well, of course, it's never too late in the season. It's never too late to do a little bit of pre-engineering if you think you might want to expand your garden space. But maybe folks might want to think about putting in some of those second harvest crops so that they could donate them. There are processes that you need to go through in order to make those donations. And it probably makes good sense to check with folks first and find out what they can accept and how they want, fill in the blank. You're contributing to the Damiano Center, is that right?
Yep.
Okay, so you could call a place like the Damiano Center, you could call a place like Chum, and you could say, you know, I'd like to make a fresh produce contribution. What's the best way to do that? The Salvation Army, perhaps? I mean, I can think of a lot of organizations, and maybe the best
idea... Second Harvest.
Oh, there you go. Maybe the best idea is just to call them and say, I'd like to make these contributions. What's the best way to do it? And get their guidelines, and that might kind of give you an indication of how you might want to go either for the remainder of this year or start pre-engineering for an expanded space next year, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Find out how you can do that. Each of them have different guidelines or different protocols that they follow, so I think years past, a lot of them would just accept it if you just showed up at the door with a box full of apples or tomatoes. But now with the things going on, they have made limitations to that. So call and make sure what you have they can use and how to get that to them in a healthy, safe way will be good. So, and I have to, a couple of things. You just said you're at a loss for words, which I think is the first time I've ever heard you say that.
They don't always make sense, but I've usually got a few in my back pocket someplace.
And, you know, and a couple other really cool things that are going on in the garden, because we've had this warmer June. And I sent you a picture yesterday of a black swallowtail caterpillar on some fennel that my friend Laura took a picture of. And that's a rarity, really, in our climate to see those as caterpillars and to even see them as adults. And it certainly is an indication of the warm summer we've had and also maybe some changes to our climate that are indicating some of these insects that may normally be south of us or east of us are now working their way into our region. So folks, and really the story to that is as we maybe start to see some of these new things like a black swallowtail that was munching away on fennel, instead of the old days when people would have reached for something to spray that or something to kill that with, they're taking the time to really look at it and understand it and understand what it is and deciding if it's friend or foe and deciding what the threshold level is for, you know, that caterpillar should have something to eat too, or that bug should have something to eat too, and I'm okay with that. So instead of in the past when people would just grab the pesticide or something to eradicate it, gaining a little bit more understanding and a little bit more acceptance for it and tolerance for what it also brings to your life.
If you've ever been in an area, I was out in the Tules last year, I remember, and I was out driving around some of the places around western Minnesota, and they've got a lot of milkweed growing in the ditches. And I had slowed down, and I was taking some pictures, and all of a sudden a bird comes off the wire, and he grabs a monarch caterpillar off the milkweed. And unfortunately, I got a whole photo series. It's a snuff film. It's really disgusting. And you see a caterpillar, a monarch caterpillar or a swallowtail caterpillar, and you think, oh, you're so vulnerable. I need to do something to take really good care of you. There are wonderful conservation organizations here in town that can help you bring those caterpillars indoors, help, you know, feed them and take excellent care of them until they reach maturity and become grown-up butterflies, and then you can release them.
Yeah, and for folks that are interested, there are some really fun Facebook pages of folks that are doing spark the point of adulthood, at least, you know, at least have a little better chance. Because there's caterpillars, very few survive. Things like what you just mentioned.
Oh, yeah. That was like, oh, wow, no wonder they bring the caterpillars indoors. And I thought, why did I take this series of photographs and why did I use my zoom lens?
Ah! Yeah, look away.
It was kind of disgusting. So the idea is, of course, not to transport them any distance. That really can, you know, we started to learn more about that last year because of this effort. People are learning so much. And, you know, if I had, for example, grabbed up some monarch caterpillars in western Minnesota and hauled them back across the state, bad plan, because that can mess up migration and it messes up all sorts of things. But if you bring them from your backyard into your house and let them mature into beautiful butterflies and then set them free, that's a good thing. There's not a problem there. You're not creating a crisis.
Yeah, and there's lots of folks doing that. And you mentioned milkweed and more people planting that habitat. And it really goes right back to what we were just talking about creating that level of tolerance and understanding for those other entities around you and what their needs are and how we've negatively impacted those over generations and how we can turn that tide, even if it's just a slight turn with planting some of those things that maybe monarchs like or swallowtails like or whatever it happens to be that, you know, allows us to coexist a little better than 100% lawn.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. The colonization didn't stop at people. There's certainly been a lot of, well, this is the way we're yards ought to be, and these are the animals and plants and insects we allow, and these are the ones we don't allow. So we have an opportunity to rethink all kinds of stuff at this point, and we can do it in the privacy of our own backyards. TK, thanks a million for joining us. Let's talk again in a couple of weeks, all right?
Sounds great. You have a good day, and I hope you have no more loss for words.
Yeah, it's the words are not the problem. The wild plum, that's the problem. We'll talk. Tom Casper, our host for Tips for Hardy Gardeners, a regular feature of every other Tuesday right here on KUMD.